Good morning, and you're all very welcome on this Easter Sunday morning. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. We're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, and we're going to continue the idea of how do I respond to Jesus? You know, for Palm Sunday and Good Friday service, we've been looking at how people responded to Jesus. We're going to continue that. We've looked at a wide range of responses. We are told many times that in the Gospels that when people heard Jesus, they were amazed at his teaching. They had never heard the Scriptures taught as he taught them. He taught as someone with authority. And since Jesus is the author of the Bible, then he has personal insight to everything that he taught. He taught with parables. And he used common stories and metaphors that the people understood. They realized that Jesus taught at their level of understanding. The Scriptures could be applied to their lives, and because of that, they hung on to every word that he said. Now, the religious leaders were a different story. They challenged Jesus. They questioned his authority to teach the Scriptures. They tried to trap Jesus in theological debates. But since Jesus was the foundation behind the theology, they never won. Jesus turned away every challenge presented to him. In fact, he turned the tables on them each time, taking their question and giving it back to them for their answer. Each time they failed, they realized that if they answered one way, then they were recognizing Jesus as the Son of God and validating his ministry, which is what they did not want to do. And if they answered another way, they would be seen by the people as enemies of Jesus, and the people would turn against them. And they feared what people thought of them. So sometimes they decided to not answer Jesus. And no response to Jesus is a quote-unquote no response to Jesus. Some were spies, fakes, sent in by the religious leaders to infiltrate the crowd that followed Jesus, trying to find ways to trick Jesus or catch him in a lie. They could not. Many were scared of what other people thought of them, scared to admit that they liked Jesus' teaching, and they wanted to follow Jesus, but the peer pressure was too great. They loved the glory of man more than the glory that comes from God. Some people, religious leaders or otherwise, denied Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. All of the disciples denied Jesus by running away and hiding while Jesus was being falsely accused and crucified. They were fearful instead of being courageous. Instead of standing up for Jesus, they hid themselves. A friend betrayed Jesus with a kiss, the worst response imaginable. All for a few bits of silver. Judas' friendship and loyalty to Jesus was divided. He gave up everything, including his soul, for a small bag of coins. One criminal, while on the cross next to Jesus, mocked him. His dying words to Jesus were filled with arrogance and hate. The other criminal spoke to Jesus with humility and repentance, asking only to be remembered. The grace of God through Jesus on the cross not only remembered that man, but forgave him and led him into paradise to be eternally with Jesus. Well, this brings us to today. How do we respond to the crucified and risen Lord, Jesus Christ? Well, as we read this event and think about how the two ladies responded to the news of Jesus' resurrection, be thinking about your own relationship with Jesus. How will you respond to Jesus today? So I'll read Matthew 28, 1 to 10. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, before we talk about what the angel had to say, let's mention the women in the story. Matthew mentions two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Since there are at least three different Marys, we're not exactly sure, at least from Matthew's point of view, which Mary it was. Matthew knew, but he had his reasons why he said it that way. Luke mentions more women. He mentioned the women who followed Jesus from Galilee. And then he mentions Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women. And that's at least five women. And there he says Mary, Luke said Mary the mother of James. Now, if it was, so that could be Mary, the mother of Jesus. Or it could be the mother of James and John, the brothers. Again, we're not given the exact detail, so we don't exactly know. These women, they watched Jesus die on the cross. These women watched Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body down from the cross and lay it in his own tomb. These women helped prepare the body, but then they had to stop due to the Passover. They watched the stone being rolled to seal the tomb. They went back to the tomb the next morning. Why? What did they expect to see? Well, Jesus had said he would be raised up again in 3 days. Was this actually true? Why weren't his own disciples there to see if this happened? These women had enough faith to at least want to know if the tomb was empty or not. Now, what they saw surprised them, scared them even. It's not every day that you see a bright and shiny angel descend from heaven and easily roll a stone away, a stone that would have taken several men to put into place, and the angel just moved it without a problem. He rolled it away and sat down, and probably smiled at the women. The Roman guards, meanwhile, were so scared they became like dead men. So as the angel greeted the women, let's look at his four comments to them. Nearly every appearance of an angel is started with the same phrase, "Do not be afraid." This should be expected. They witnessed an amazing moment. They watched the angel appear from heaven and roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb. Of course they were afraid. But the angel not only tells them to not be afraid, but that he knew why they were there. "I know you seek Jesus." That would have eased their fears. They didn't have to say anything. The angel knew because God knew. Angels are God's messengers, and they only say what they are told to say. This angel knew the women would be there and why they were there. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." There was no doubt that this angel was from the Lord. Well, secondly, the angel gives them the answer they were seeking. "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come, see the place where he lay." This answered so many questions. The tomb was empty. Jesus rose again, just as he had told them on more than one occasion. Everything he had said was true. And if there were any doubts in their minds, the angel invited them in to see for themselves. A couple of years ago, when walking on the Camino, we were in a cathedral and looking at the artwork and stone carvings. And I remember one small stone carving that depicted one scene. The angel was in the tomb, motioning with an arm to look at the empty stone table in the tomb. Three women were standing in the opening to the tomb. I remember saying that this was a depiction of the empty tomb and the resurrection. And my friends asked me how I knew to tell them the story. And I basically shared these couple of verses that we're looking at today. It's a simple way to explain what Jesus did for us on the cross. And he is risen. He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where he lay. Then he said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Go and tell the guys who had been with him for 3 years that he's risen. Tell them what I have just told you. Now, from our perspective, looking at this story, Jesus' disciples should have been there with the women. But we would be just like them. We would be fearful, in hiding, hoping that there would be good news. Well, the last statement from the angel was also to tell the disciples, behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. The news kept getting better and better. He was risen. He has risen. He is not in the tomb. He has done as he said he would do, and he's waiting for us. And where is he waiting? Back at the beginning. The majority of the disciples were fishermen. Jesus met them at the boats 3 years earlier, telling them he would make them fishers of men. And now he was waiting for them at the same place. With that, the angel had finished his task. See, I have told you. My mission is complete. I have removed the stone. I've revealed to you the empty tomb. I've proclaimed that Jesus is risen just as he had foretold, and now I send you to tell the others. It's just a marvelous story, but the excitement was not over for the ladies. As they leave to fulfill the task given to them, guess who met them on the road? I mean, could this day get any better? Only one way, and it was not what they expected at all. It was Jesus. Jesus met them on the road, saying greetings. I can imagine that Jesus had a big smile, maybe some laughter, and shouting out greetings to them. These ladies had enough faith to be the first ones to the tomb. They met the angel and they heard the good news of the resurrection first, so it's only fitting that Jesus appeared to them first as well. Jesus knew they already met the angel, and he tells them basically the same things to emphasize what they needed to do. Now first, he says, do not be afraid. Again, they are to lay aside their fears. Jesus is with them now. There was no need to fear. He was the real deal. They saw his face. They heard his voice. They touched him. He was real. It was one thing to get the news from the angel, but now to see Jesus face to face, every fear was gone. He tells the ladies the same thing. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Well, based on what we know, I would think that this was the happiest, best day in the lives of these ladies. They went to the tomb, deeply saddened by what they had witnessed just a few hours earlier. And they did not know what to expect at the tomb. Now, I'm sure they didn't expect to see an angel appear and remove the stone, nor did they expect to see Jesus on the road. How did they respond? Well, first they responded to the angel's statements to them. Go and tell. Were they frightened? Yes, of course they were, but they were also filled with joy. Their friend and Savior was alive. Did they take time to assess what the angel said and figure out what to do next? No. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Their task was to go and tell the disciples. Matthew tells us that they ran. They didn't stop at home for a cup of tea. They didn't go to the shop first to get some snacks for the lads. They departed quickly and ran. There was nothing to think about. They were convinced without a doubt that what this angel told them was true. How often did they talk to angels anyway? They knew this message was from the Lord. But secondly, their day got infinitely better when Jesus yelled out greetings. Did they recognize Jesus? Well, yes, immediately. And their response to Jesus was instantaneous. They went to their knees, holding his feet, and worshiped. There was no fear, only pure joy as they saw Jesus, as they heard his voice and they held him. The act of worship was of humility, reverence, and adoration. And this is the response everyone should have with Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as his cousin John the Baptist proclaimed. This moment, as they're kneeling before him, holding his feet, maybe kissing his feet, this moment brings to mind the words from Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful in the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Jesus was all that. He was the first one to do so. And he's the one that has sent us all out to proclaim his good news, to proclaim his peace, to proclaim the salvation that is only through him. So how do you respond to Jesus? Well, the question remains for everyone. How do you respond? The invitation and the response are in these few verses this morning. If you're a seeker of Jesus, if you have wanted to know more about Jesus and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, then today is the day and the hour. There is no better time than now. And if you are seeking Jesus today, then know that though he was crucified, he's no longer on the cross. And though he was buried in a borrowed tomb, he is no longer in the grave. But he is risen, just as he said he would. The angel told the ladies to see for yourself. Look closely. Understand that Jesus is risen, that what he said is true. He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the righteous one. The criminal on the cross knew he was a sinner. He knew that Jesus was righteous and did not deserve to die. He made his decision for Jesus. Every person needs to make their decision for Jesus. The Pharisee named Nicodemus, he sought out Jesus to talk to him. And they talked during the middle of the night when no one would see him talking to Jesus. Jesus told him he had to be born again, and he said, how can I be born again? Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the invitation. That was the invitation from the angel. See for yourself. Make your decision. The gift of eternal life is offered to all. Romans. There are several verses in Romans that leads us through, walks us through the plan of salvation. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's holiness is a bar that's set too high for us to ever achieve, except through the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's the gift. God's love for us is so much more than we can comprehend. All we need to do is choose to respond, choose to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, that he went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And Romans 6:23 describes the gift clearly, for the wages of sin is death, but the gracious free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You earn based on your response. If you ignore Jesus and reject him, then you earn the wages of sin, which is death, eternally separated from God. But the grace of God offers us the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If we respond and accept Jesus, then our wages is eternal life. And Romans 8:1 helps us understand that our sins are completely washed away. Nothing will keep us from Jesus ever again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And this is the biggest and greatest news. If you are in Christ, that means you have now placed your hope and trust in Jesus. You have sought Jesus, looked in for yourself, and have responded by accepting that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. You believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again from the dead on the third day, that tomb is empty, just as he said he would. At that point, anyone in Christ is not going to be condemned for their sin and will not go to hell. You do not need to walk around feeling guilty about past sins. You're no longer condemned by sin because you are now saved by Jesus. You have believed in Jesus, and it is as if your sins have been washed away and you are a totally clean person. And the angel and Jesus told the ladies to go and tell. They were to go and tell the good news that they had heard. When you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, then tell someone else this good news. Tell someone who needs to hear. There are a lot of hurting, lost, hopeless people that need to hear the good news of Jesus. Is that last step in Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe, then why wouldn't you want to tell someone else this great news? That is where we are at this moment. We have heard the gospel story of Jesus, and we must respond. How will you respond today? There's an old hymn that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. So I pray that your response this day is to follow Jesus, no turning back.